are listening to 2012 Journey to Evolution. I am your host, Tambourine Borelli, and you are tuning into where the evolution of matter and spirit meet. Matter in regard to our humanness, our unresolved issues, those unfinished business aspects that tend to hide in the corridors. You know, people ask me, what is an unresolved issue? And basically, it's anything that disturbs your peace. And, you know, people say, well, what does that have to do with 2012 and evolution? And I say to them that if we still have anything that disturbs our peace, it prevents us from being the highest version of ourselves. And in regard to 2012, it absolutely is a shift in consciousness. It is an era that vibrates on such a high frequency that unresolved issues have no part in it. Which brings us to tonight's guest. I'm very honored to have Beverly Garb, who is a very powerful life purpose coach. And really, she emphasizes in body-centered coaching. And I'm going to welcome her and have her explain to you what exactly that is. Beverly, welcome.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for staying up for us.
Yeah, I have my little toothpicks in my eyelids. They're holding them open.
I know it's later where you live than it is where I live, so I really appreciate you being with us tonight.
No problem. I'm excited.
Can you tell us a little bit about what body-centered coaching is?
Yeah. So what I mean by body-centered coaching is that I use the body as the main portal for information. So I always tell people, you know, if we try to access information about your life purpose or about where it is you're wanting to go through your mind, basically what happens is the mind just spits out information based on what it already knows. So it's always going to be based on the past. It can't be anything else, because if you think about the mind as a, you know, similar to a computer, let's say, everything you've learned in your life gets basically put into the hard drive. And then you go put in a question and it spits out the answer based on what it already knows and what's stored in the hard drive. So if we can access the information through the body, we can actually access portals that you'd never know to access through your mind. So that's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is that everything we experience in our life somehow gets into a cellular memory. So, you know, I get many clients coming in with different types of trauma, let's say, because I do specialize in trauma, that have had years and years of therapy. But they've never really dealt with the cellular memory of the trauma, and so it still continues to run them. So what I do with clients is I help them find where they've stored those memories in the body so we can release them and unlock them and then access, you know, quantum portals, portals that can take you where your mind could never even imagine going.
You know, that's very powerful, and it reminds me in regard to old limiting beliefs in regard to DNA and how people said, you know, if you are predisposed to certain genetic illnesses or behavior, what have you, the old belief was that you came in with what you got, and what you got is, you know, what you're stuck with. And that's simply not the case. As what you're saying, it can be changed. It can be reprogrammed.
Yes. I mean, really, your cellular memory can be really basic, almost rewritten, especially when it comes to trauma or memories from childhood. So, and I see it all the time. I see people that had sexual abuse or emotional abuse or, you know, different issues. And trauma is a continuum. And it could be as simple as I cried and my mother didn't come to sexual, emotional, or physical abuse. So whatever's true for you, would probably be experienced as traumatic. So what we do is, like I said, actually get that out of the cellular memory and replace it with different ideas and beliefs so that what you're vibrating out into the world is completely different.
Can you give me an example of that, maybe a particular case that you've experienced and how you experienced being effective in changing that?
Well, you know, what we look for is what did you make up about the situation? So in my work, you know, I deal with core wounding. So my philosophy is basically we're born and we're just kind of happy little campers and everything's great and mom's great and dad's great and the world is great. And we kind of cruise along in that way until we experience something that's just too painful for us. And I call that our core wounding. And every single thing in our life after that core wounding is heavily influenced and tainted by that experience. So when people come to me, they're kind of on the other side of their core wounding, and I always see that as being really outside of your body, and you're sort of looking out for your life purpose, and you're looking out for happiness. It's like, you know, looking under the table and looking under the pillows. Maybe my life's purpose is here, you know, as if it's outside of you somehow. So when people come in, what I do is I kind of turn them around, and I move them back through all the experiences and situations that occurred after the core wounding and then back through the core wounding so they can land back in their body. So an example would be, you know, not to use any client-specific things, but a common example is, let's say a sexual abuse. Let's say something as severe as sexual abuse. Well, what happens is when people experience something that traumatic, the act in itself can be traumatic, but what's more traumatic is what they make up about life. So say they experience some sort of abuse and they go, life is abusive. And then they march their little 3-year-old body down to the classified ad department and they take out a big classified ad that says, all the situations, circumstances, and people that can possibly show me how abusive life is, please apply. And then they, you know, do a really extensive interview process, and they hire the worst of the worst of them. And then they wake up 42 years later, and they go, why is life so abusive? Why do I keep getting in abusive relationships? Why do I keep getting into abusive work situations? So what I have them see is by saying I'm committed to life being abusive or whatever it is, they find where that resonates in the body. And then we go in there, we move it from the unconscious to the conscious, and then we have an exercise that, you know, if life wasn't abusive, what would you want it to be? And they make new commitments. So what's happening is they're actually, like, opening up their blinders to, oh, my God. Yes, I was traumatized and victimized and whatever it is, but I've created the next 40 years of my life based on what I made up about that experience. So once people start to recommit, and kind of choose what they want to see life as, their whole world changes. They start to attract different people and circumstances into their lives. And it's not to say we don't do some grief work over the trauma, but we can definitely shift the paradigm that they're living within.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of when I was studying spiritual psychology at USM in California. You know, there was some very profound examples of trauma. Students, well, part of the curriculum would be, you know, students would stand up and the leaders of the class, the teachers, would engage the student based on what was present for them, what they were going through, what their issue was, what their trauma was. And I mean, in my experience, I had never heard some of the most just deep stories of, you know, what human beings had actually gone through in childhood. And it was just powerful to watch these two masters of this psychology unravel what, you know, these people have made up about themselves because of what they endured.
Yeah.
And the bottom line became forgiving themselves for judging themselves to be somehow responsible for what happened to them, that they could have prevented it or, you know, any one of many things. But the bottom line was about forgiveness. And I know in speaking to you earlier, you were saying that some of your clients have said, well, you know, what does that mean to forgive yourself? And if you have any thoughts on that, please share it.
Yeah, and that is the key point, because when we finally forgive ourselves, then there's nothing left to forgive, right? So we spend so much time being taught we have to forgive the other and have compassion for the other, and I think my work's a little controversial because I say, you know, hogwash. Like, this isn't about trying to forgive. This is about telling the truth about your story so that you can have empathy for yourself. And in that empathy, you come to a place of forgiveness for yourself. And then forgiveness for others is an organic process. It's not something you have to try to do. It comes organically once you've had empathy for that little child inside you that endured the trauma. So exactly what you said, I agree with. What happens, and again, I'll just use the case of, let's say some severe trauma, like physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. What happens is a little child can't rationalize. They can't go, oh, daddy's beating me because he's a confused man that's in pain. A child cannot say that. All a child's mind can do is say, oh, I'm being beaten because I'm bad. I'm being beaten because I did something wrong. That's the capacity of a child's mind. And then we carry that story around with us for the rest of our lives. I'm bad. I'm wrong. And until we allow that little child in ourselves to really retell the story and to re-feel and re-experience the story, and us as adults have empathy for that child, until we do that, we will continually be run by the story that we basically made up about it, right?
Absolutely.
Not saying the event didn't happen, but what we made up about ourselves is what really does the damage.
Exactly.
Is that similar to how you view that?
Yeah, it is so, because what I found is that whatever I held myself in contempt for, even subconsciously, it was a blind spot, let's say, before I was present to what I was not forgiving myself for, I was transmitting a frequency that said, let's say, punish me, or rather, I'm not worthy, so let me attract to me every circumstance and situation and person that would make that belief true.
Yeah, it's the classified ad.
Exactly. And so what becomes the mirrors, say, whatever I'm holding myself in contempt for, my higher self creates, you know, people and situations in my life like a projector, a movie projector, projecting that on every person in my life, showing me where somehow I'm being that way to myself. You know, say if I endured any type of trauma, for hypothetically speaking, if that happened one time, I do more damage to myself by reliving and replaying the story. It literally replays it over and over again. Just a different way of what you were saying. I totally agree with you. So until we forgive that, we will continue to experience that in our daily life.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily mean forgive the trauma or forgive the other person. That's nice, but that's a choice, and it might or might not happen. It's forgiving yourself, which I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And like, again, like what you said, when you do that, when you authentically forgive yourself, it is a byproduct. Forgiveness of other people just kind of happens because, you know, when we are not holding ourselves in contempt for anything, who can we hold in contempt for anything? You know, it's always within. It starts with us. It's us first and foremost. When we love and accept ourselves, no matter what happened in the past, you know, no matter what we experience, what we used to believe about ourselves, when we can truly own that, you know, our life and the people in it will reflect that compassion that we are finally holding for our own self.
Right.
So I want to give out the number for anyone who'd like to call in and ask any questions. If we have time, we definitely will engage you. The phone number is 888-815-9756. And until then, let's see.
I wanted to just say something about what a comment you just made.
Yes.
Just because I think we can do a lot of beating ourselves up over not forgiving ourselves and over not having compassion.
Yeah.
So kind of in my work, I really keep it real. So the end result is likely that you will forgive yourself, but that's not the intention of the work. The intention of the work is for you to access exactly what you feel about the experience. So if you feel rage and hatred and anger, that my work really does allow for that to be expressed in the truest form. So there's no, and not that you're saying there has to be, but I want to clarify for the audience that forgiveness for yourself is a process, and it's not something that you can kind of beat into your head. In my experience, one of the most profound ways to get there is to tell the truth about your story with all the rage, with all the anger, with all the hatred, with all the unforgiveness that does live inside your body.
I totally and completely agree with you. I think maybe it got misconstrued in terms of the end. For basically, from my point of view, in the end is forgiveness, but what you just said now is absolutely part of the process, without a doubt. I remember in my training in soul psychology that one of the things that was addressed was doing what they call the spiritual bypass, which would have looked like, oh, I forgive myself and I forgive everyone else, but really I have rage inside of me and I don't think a spiritual person gets angry, so I'm going to just bypass that and forgive everyone. Yeah, that leads in disaster, because anger, when anger is not expressed, see, energy always seeks expression, and if it doesn't get expression and it's repressed, it grows into something else. And anger, firsthand I can tell you, my anger grew into rage because I didn't think it was appropriate to express until I learned that there was nothing more spiritual than expressing appropriate, in the moment, anger so it could be released and come out of the body so I could access authentic forgiveness, and not just because I thought it was the appropriate thing to do.
Exactly, and because a lot, you know, I think where people get most stuck in this work is defending and protecting their parents. So it doesn't matter how horrific the trauma, our natural kind of reaction is to defend and protect our parents, because on some level we do love them, you know. So people always ask me, do I have to be spiritual to do this work? Do I have to, you know, already know what spirituality means? And I have to be honest, some of my most difficult clients are quote-unquote spiritual. Because I have to unwind some of the training that we had, and I did it for years, trust me. I'm like, I'm going to meditate on forgiveness, and the beating myself up for really just not being able to access the forgiveness and having so much anger and hatred. I mean, I had one of my coaches walk out on me in the middle of a session and say, I won't work with you because you think it's okay to hate. And I just beated myself up for that for months.
Really?
And until I came to the realization, is like, well, anything you're feeling is okay and is appropriate to your environment. So,
absolutely.
So, you know, I just want the audience to know that there's no right way to do this, and there's nothing you should be feeling. It's feel what you feel when you feel it. And
you
that's
know,
another. Sorry.
It just brings me to the organic trueness of children. Before children are told what makes them a good boy or a good girl for what their raw feeling is on something, you know, before it's made wrong or right, you know, they're just as real as it gets, you know? It's totally true. And in some aspect, I think if we could take a lesson from that, to not judge how we're feeling and just allow it to be what it is. Allow the feeling to just unravel instead of getting caught in the body. You know, because again, that actually leads to a whole other list of problems. You know, dis-ease when your body, you know, is holding, you know, trauma and it's not at ease. You know, there's a lot of complications that come from that, but that's a whole other, show topic. I don't want to get too off.
It is, but can I touch upon that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you asked me to share results. You know, I've had people, for instance, a woman I was working with a little while ago who on the first session, she had tendonitis for, I can't remember how long she told me, for, I don't know, I want to say years, but definitely months, and she was seeing her massage therapist and this and that. After one session, she was completely able to straighten out her hand, and it didn't come back for weeks. And when it did come back, she went through just the same exercise that we went through, and her fingers totally uncurled. So I've seen people just in one or two sessions by giving the body expression, like just chronic symptoms completely disappear.
I totally believe it and experience it also in my work. It's absolutely true. And, you know, I believe that the era that we're approaching, it will be all about that mind-body connection. You know, listening to our consciousness, you know, and being true to what is true for us, you know, and honoring ourselves in that way rather than having to pop a pill or to take something to quiet symptoms that really are deriving from an imbalance, you know, within our soul, you know, so
I do know.
I totally agree with you. It's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I mean, that's an interesting topic, just what you're bringing up about what does that mean for the 2012, you know, and I know that's a lot of the work that you do is the evolution that we're going through right now.
Yeah, you know, because I think it has a lot to do with this type of work, no matter what it's called, part of evolving, I believe, is getting out of the dogmatic mindset, growing out of the dogmatic mindset, meaning it's only this way or only that way. Or, you know, I mean, it's no different than all of the religions of the world, you know. If it's not Christianity, it's, you know, Buddhism, or, you know, people saying, no, my man Jesus, no, my man Muhammad, no, my man Buddha, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if it assists a person to be the highest version of themselves and be in total peace and just, a state where their peace isn't disturbed and they are able to be in a state of love with themselves and everyone in their life, I think it's great. I don't care what it's called. If it's about evolution, I totally support it. So I just think that, you know, sometimes people may have differences in the way that they go about it, but I feel it's really important that we all and this is just my perspective, obviously, because if I were to say this is the only way to evolve, then I would be guilty of the very thing that I'm saying that I'd like to see us steer away from, which is just seeing the similarities in things rather than focusing on the differences, you know?
Right on, sister.
Again, the phone number is 888-815-9756. And we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with Beverly Garb in just a minute.
Painful and out, I can't wait.
Hey, we're back. Tambourine Borelli, 2012 Journey to Evolution with Beverly Garb tonight. We are going to get into the topic of 2012. What does it mean? You know, what is this ascension thing? You know, everyone's talking about ascension, and, you know, some people say it's one thing, other people say it's the exact opposite. There's so many conflicting ideas about it. I had a caller last show, someone wrote in, and, you know, they were so confused. They say, of all the books and all the different metaphysical magazines and, you know, different people speaking on the subject, they're just very confused. So I want to talk about that. And, of course, this is just my perspective. Doesn't mean it's the truth. It's just what's true for me. Based on everything I've experienced and where my consciousness is, I see 2012 and where we're going in regard to ascension. Ascension, what is the word ascension? I look at it as a raising of consciousness, raising the frequency of our being, who we are, what we're about, what we experience in life, experiencing the highest version of ourselves. Sometimes it's not as airy-fairy as people may make it out to seem, that, you know, we might ascend into the clouds, into some, you know, scene from a movie. It might be just as real as physics, raising our frequency, and, you know, that can play out in many different ways. Me and Beverly were talking on the break, and I'm really interested to hear your perspective, Beverly, in regard to, you know, what your perspective is, how you experience it, and how you view the whole thing.
The ascension process?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, there's so many different ways of looking at it, and who knows if mine is right. I just know sort of what resonates and what I'm seeing a lot of right now. And I would agree with you. I think it's an energetic, a raising of our vibration. And so I'm actually not of the belief that the entire planet is going through an ascension process and we're either going to make it or we're not. I believe that there's many dimensions that coexist on this planet and in the universe at the same time. And some of us are going through the ascension and some of us aren't, which is why you may have experienced in this past year a separation from loved ones, kind of a lot of divorces, a lot of breaking ties with friends.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I think in this last year, we those of us who chose to do this and who are committed to doing it or on the path chose to make a break with people that were not committed to it, mainly because the energies could no longer coexist. So we're still on the planet together, but our energies are so different that it felt like a train wreck every time we were around these people. I don't know if you can resonate with that.
Yes, absolutely. Or I found just totally removed from my experience, almost like we both were walking down a street and then one of us fell down this hole and the one person was just left walking on the street by themselves almost immediately, like my closest friend, the 5 years, one day, you know, I mean, we talked 5 times a day, probably. And all of a sudden, no particular thing happened, but literally within a day or two, it was as if we were never friends. And yeah. It's the only thing that I can use in my own personal experience to register with what you're saying. It's exactly how I'm experiencing it.
Yeah. And in my coaching practice, there were just, you know, a lot of couples coming in either trying to heal the past or let go of each other. A lot of family members, mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, either healing the past or letting go of each other. So last year, in my experience, was definitely a dramatic year for those of us who were on the path, really making a huge break. And it's like you said, just like you're walking down the street and all of a sudden somebody drops in a hole. And that's almost what happens, is the vibration just gets so different that you can't coexist anymore. But I think what we're seeing now, and you know, I'm curious if you're seeing it in your practice, but I'm certainly seeing it in mine, is that there's like a little energetic bridge that's kind of connecting us to the lower vibrations and to loved ones. And while the relationship is very different to what it was before, because we are still very different energetically, we can start now communicating with love, or communicating at least to some of the people that we made a break from last year. So the beginning of this year, I'm seeing a lot of just learning how to communicate, different energies learning to communicate to each other. So it's been so interesting, and I'm just fascinated by the amount of awakening that I'm seeing going on this year. It's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I have experienced that. In terms of timeline shifts, you know, and as you were talking, something just flashed across my mind in regard to, like, say people that we've broken contact with at some point within last year. Now, because there's infinite amount of versions of timelines, maybe the ones that are starting to reconnect, maybe they've chosen to participate in the timeline that's of the higher frequency, hence the recommunicating, you know, to a certain degree. Like, say, for instance, different radio stations. Each radio station is broadcasting on a particular frequency. So say you have music that's playing on, let's just say, 105.9 and 97.4. You know, you're going to hear the music on each respective station. If the person who's listening to 97.4 changes their frequency to 105.9, then they're going to be hearing the same music that the person that was listening to that station previously is hearing. And they won't be hearing the music anymore that's playing on 97.4. You follow me?
Totally, yes. Yeah. So people, we're all on our different timelines. So some people are going to make a shift earlier, and other people are going to make it later, and I think there's two things going on. Sometimes some of those people are actually shifting and meeting us, and other times they're shifting and we're still on different energetic vibrations, but I just see it as a bridge of communication that's more allowed now. Like, I don't know if you or some of your clients last year felt like communication was absolutely just not allowed. It was like, you are going to break and you're going to break cleanly, you know?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, and so last year was just all about, like, a clean, clean break. And this year just feels more about there's a communication between whatever frequencies we're on, whatever energy we're on. And I think, you know, some of us chose to lead the way, and so we're kind of helping and teaching and guiding other people. And you know, we're all just kind of going through it together.
Absolutely. Now let me ask you this question. Have you been feeling just like, it happens for me in stages, like seasons. It's not all the time, and thank God it's not, because I probably would just combust. There are times, like I'd say a few weeks ago, and it lasted a few weeks, that it just felt like there were times when some moments I felt very clear and very on my path, very empowered. And other moments I literally felt like I was going insane. Like I wanted to go outside and just scream.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Almost like nails on a chalkboard, kind of like just on the verge of being so agitated and not being able to put my finger on what it was that was the cause of this just irritation.
You know, it's funny because I was writing a blog about it the other day about, like, the stop and go, that right now there's, like, we're in this weird phase of it's like up and down, stop and go. And I think, or what you know, how do I know, right? I mean, this information just sort of gets downloaded into me. And what I perceive that as is we're just adjusting to a new frequency, and so we kind of go in it and then out of it, and in it and out of it as our cellular memory adjusts to it. So, you know, the body can only handle so much frequency at a certain time, so our whole structure has to rearrange and get used to it. And so I think exactly what you're saying is what a lot of people are experiencing, is like really extreme highs and lows, you know, if they've started to manifest their purpose, there's a lot of stopping and starting. Like, all of a sudden it will take off and it will totally stop.
It's totally it.
Yeah. So
I would say to anyone that's experiencing that, have heart, hold on. Just hold on and ride the wave, because if you can, you're going to make it to the other side. It's just a process. It's just what is happening in order to make the, it's like transmuting, you know, alchemy. Even gold has to go back into the crucible, into the oven, for it to get to its last stage, which is mirror. Mirror. It's very symbolic. You know, so
just also to add to that, which might give it a kind of a practical standpoint, because you and I have talked a lot about, you know, what does it mean to heal your past in this ascension process. And when people come in to kind of find their life purpose, you know, I'm a life purpose coach, I always say, well, when you shine the light on the purpose, are you ready to shine the light on the shadow as well? Because it's not possible to shine the light on one without the other.
Yes.
It's just not physically possible. And so I think also what we're experiencing in the highs and lows is that alternating between the shadow and the light. So seeing the light, being in our purpose, and then going into our shadow to heal a certain aspect that's not healed. It's kind of a vacillation between the light and the dark right now.
Absolutely. And I see a connection to that also in allowing those feelings that you were talking about earlier. When you take the people back into their trauma and allow them to feel the anger, allow them to feel the pain so they can, you know, dissolve it. I think there's a similarity in regard to that purpose, allowing the shadow as well as the light, because it's only duality, you know, when we say one or the other. If we can be in the middle of the magnet and accept both equally, I think that is the root of our power.
Yeah, and you almost just learn, you know, when you start to accept your emotions, like you're saying, there's times where you just are so clear and you're on your path, and there's other times where you just want to run outside and scream. Well, if we don't make one better than the other, then they're both just experiences. And so when you want to run outside and scream, go run outside and scream, right?
Yep, and I do, girl.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you do.
I do. Look, even though I'm on 5 acres out here, my neighbors down the road, I know they must look at each other going, oh, God, there's Tambourine again. But, you know, you just got to do it sometimes and not have any judgment on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that everyone is experiencing it, no matter if they think themselves to be spiritual or, you know, even some of the most conservative people in their own way, you know, they're experiencing it too. And these days I have experienced people who maybe 5 years ago would never even entertain this subject matter. They're open. They're open for it. You know, so it's a sign to me that, you know, more people are ready. You know, they're ready to go to the next level. They're ready to get down to it and be a part of this new era, which is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, and even if they're not using the verbiage, I have a really acute story, but, you know, on my site, I was writing something about going to the other side. And, you know, it was last year, so it was about, like, leaving a lot of your loved ones behind. And my dad called, and he was like, so, is there, like, a group involved with what you're doing? And I was like, well, what do you mean? What are you asking? And he's like, well, and he was really trying hard not to say, but was basically asking me if I was in some sort of cult and we were going to, like, drink the Kool-Aid and go to the other side sometime. But what's so interesting is that he's really conservative, and he's Jewish, and once he found out that there was no cult, he started to share that a lot of what they're learning in their Kabbalah classes and through the synagogue is really very similar to what we're saying.
Oh, yeah, the Kabbalah, based on what I know of it, it's definitely rooted in some knowledge, the Tree of Life and the sacred geometry of that. It's definitely hooked in.
Yeah, so like you were saying, I mean, people will get it in all sorts of ways. They don't have to call it ascension. They don't have to think it's going to happen in 2012. But somehow, some way, we are all being shaken to our cores right now.
It's so true. It's so true in terms of, I just keep thinking of a couple emails or calls that I got from last week's show. And you know, coming from a perspective of my experience, of my whole life, it's like I've been on this journey. I mean, being born a Catholic, you know, being a Muslim, being a born-again Christian, a witch, an initiate of ancient knowledge. I mean, I've been knocking on every door my whole life, you know, and then coming across people lately that they're like, you know, I just started to wake up in 2009 and, you know, I mean, and they're just voracious and their appetite for knowing is so strong. And it doesn't matter if they had ever been on the quote journey up until now. The point is they are now, you know, and their intent is to get there. So it makes no difference what any of our backgrounds are, you know, what our experiences are. The main thing is now, 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 now. Where are you at now? What is your intention now? Who do you want to be now? What part of the future do you want to hold for yourself now? You know?
I do know. And that's something we teach a lot also in Life Purpose is act as if, live as if. You know, bring your dreams into the now because that's where they live. So, but that brings up an interesting point, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we want to go into it a little bit here because there's some confusion on what is the journey and what does it look like to awaken and why do we keep talking about healing your past and the shadow side? Like, why do we have to, can't we just awaken? Can't we just, like, be in the light?
And well, what's your perspective on that?
My perspective on that is if we don't complete and heal our past, it will always drive and taint what we're trying to manifest. And our past is our past. It doesn't make it real. It's just something we experienced, and we created the rest of our reality based on that. And if we don't complete that, then it's difficult to access the purpose on a soul level. So in my work, I work a lot with personas and unconscious commitments that are stored in the body. So personas being personalities we take on a very young age in relation to something that we experience as painful. So they're survival personalities. And we basically think they're us, but they're not. They're just completely different personalities, like having multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
And these personalities, because they were created out of survival, carry unconscious commitments that are very usually negative, like life is hard or life is abusive or life is scary. And we store that in ourselves. And if we don't heal that and we don't complete it, then we go into trying to manifest our purpose, which is really the ultimate goal of ascension, is to live completely aligned with our purpose. Then we're going to manifest from that belief system, and we're going to get what we've always gotten. So you'll just feel like a hamster on a wheel, which is people come into me a lot. Like, I just feel like I'm a hamster on a wheel. Every time I try to create, it ends up being a different form of what I've already had, right?
Yeah.
So I really feel like when people come into me, the first 3 months is called awakening the self, and that is largely spent on healing and grieving the past.
Yeah.
And I say grieving because it's important to grieve it. It's important to let it have its expression, to feel whatever pain you felt around it and really put it away. And there is a grief process in that. But we just spend 3 months on really completing the past, unhooking your unconscious commitments from the cellular level, replacing them with different commitments. So when we go out to identify and manifest your purpose, you're manifesting from a clean slate. And then you can create whatever it is you want. So I think my answer to that would be, yes, you do first have to complete your past in whatever form that looks like to you and whatever modality works for you before you are truly aligned with your soul.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, in my work, there's an aspect to it that is soul psychology, which is what we've been talking about. Another aspect, which I'm not going to go into this show, but just briefly, it has to do with utilizing a frequency that some call a healing frequency, but I don't like to focus on the word healing because that gives it a direct association with some type of imbalance or dis-ease. It basically is a frequency that will go to the extent of your unresolved issues. Its intention literally is to evolve your DNA, but the byproduct of it is what most might call healing. Anything that is vibrating at a lower and slower rate from this frequency will come into balance. But what I found is if someone had unresolved issues, whether it be, you know, what they were holding in their bodies from the past or whatever their limiting beliefs were, it could only go to that extent, whatever their blind spots were. And that was actually the point where I said, you know, I'm going to have to bring back what I used to do in Los Angeles, which is, you know, soul psychology, to help unravel these layers of the onion, to be able to access that higher level of living. Because without doing that, like you just said, it's absolutely the truth. Unless we let go of that, unless we come into balance from that, there is no evolution. You know, it's just not, I don't experience it as something that can happen unless that healing takes place. So I totally agree with what you're saying. It's definitely an aspect that needs to be addressed. And I think it's really powerful what you're doing. I mean, I resonated so much with you when I first saw your work and read some of, you know, your writings. It just felt like, you know, it almost was like we went to the same, you know, we had the same training.
Yeah, well, we probably did. That's lovely.
You know, yeah, because, you know, I have to say, I'm not a lettered person. I studied for a year at University of Santa Monica in spiritual psychology, but did not complete the second year because I was drawn to my next curriculum and went to a school of ancient knowledge. So, no, I have no letters behind my name, but what has been downloaded inside my being, you know, I rely on that, and I'm good.
Yeah, and I think it's important to just put out there that there are many people that can facilitate this type of work, and it looks many different ways, and therapy might be right for you or it might not be right for you, and this work doesn't have to take years. You know, I've actually had people come in with severe trauma that have done therapy for many years, and, you know, it can, within about, I would say about 3 months, we were at a really good point of starting to manifest. So there are many modalities that can help you complete the past and get to a place of manifestation and really becoming clear in your purpose. So
I agree. And, you know, and this isn't a judgment in regard to traditional psychotherapy. It's just my observation and my experience with the two different modalities. I believe its relation in regard to 2012 and the amount of time that we have from this date, which is 2010, you know, we have, you know, about 2 years. So it would make logic to me that the modality that takes the least amount of time and that gets straight to the heart of the matter is a choice that, you know, me personally, I would want to make, because the baggage that I had, it was dealt with just straight away, just quickly. My blind spots were brought straight front and center. I was able to identify them. I was able to see the root of them. I was able to experience what that meant for me, and I was able to let it go and dissolve it for the last time. So for me personally, this type of psychology that, you know, whatever it's called, I may call it soul psychology, and you call it body-centered coaching. I believe it's the same frequency, and it has the same intention. And I think there's a reason why it doesn't take a whole lot of time, because perhaps we don't have a whole lot of time to resolve what needs to be resolved. So we can all get on with it and have a party 2013, January 1st. How about you?
So I have a question for you, because I think it's more, the Ascension's more your area than it is mine. What do you believe 2012 will look like? What do you believe will, look, here I am interviewing you, but I'm really curious, you know, what, do you think on January 2012, all of a sudden, like, the world is completely different, or what do you think 2012 will look like?
Okay, this is what I think. And again, it's only what I think. Based on what I know in regard to quantum physics, and based on what I know about how the electron circles the nucleus of the atom, and how scientists say that it looks like a cloud. It looks like a cloud because it's holding every possible potential that exists. And so what that means is that there is absolutely a version. For as many people that are on the planet, there are that many versions of that date. And that is the emphasis of my work, which is you can choose which version of 2012 you experience. Yes, the version in the movie 2012 exists. All that horrific death and destruction, it exists. But if that exists, so does the polar opposite of that, and every other version in between that exists. The bottom line, at the end of the day, is what do you want to experience? So that question has as many answers as there are people. But for me personally, I believe I've already experienced those other versions, like the movie Groundhog Day. As crazy as that sounds, I do have memories and of those versions. I'll probably talk about them in future shows. But my version, it's in the process now. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It is happening as we speak right now, which hence the feelings of the irritation of the body actually raising in frequency. You know, the changes are happening as we speak. So as we slide into 2012, into 2013, it will be a different era. You know, it will be resonating more with the type of future that we've always thought that it could be. That's the version that I intend to experience. And, you know, I hope to see you there.
Oh, you'll see me there.
Oh, I have a feeling I will. Beverly, we're nearing our end. I want to take the opportunity to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your time and your knowledge and your beautiful heart with us and your work. And I'd like to give the listeners an opportunity to further explore what you do. Could you please give your information?
Sure. I can be reached. My website is Soul Purpose Community, just like it sounds, soulpurposecommunity.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and the group is Shifting Consciousness. And my name is Beverly Garb. So the website's a really good place to find me, soulpurposecommunity.com or Shifting Consciousness on Facebook, I'd love to have you guys part of our community.
I was going to say, if they'd like to have a session with you, can they find you there, or is there a different number to call you at if they'd like that?
I will give my number out. Also, Soul Purpose Community, there's just a button they can go on and book a complimentary session. I give a full complimentary session for anyone that's interested in the body-centered coaching. And my phone number is, it's area code 760-500-6332.
Beautiful. I'm sure some of our listeners will take that up, because you definitely are a powerful coach, and I really look forward to continuing our relationship. Thank you so much for being on the show, Beverly, and we'll look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thanks. It was fun.
It was fun, huh? Good night, everyone. Thank you. See you next week.
wanna know, won't you take me there? I wanna go far down the rabbit hole. Won't you take me there? Take me back to a place, the place where I never die and never cry. Never again ask you why. A diamond sprinkled in the sky, I scan to the left, and you open your eyes. Thank you.